And 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Brenda Daly, and I am the host of Real Women Celebrating Women in Independent Film. Today, we are speaking with Stu Chaikin. He is an actor, director, producer, and he's a very funny guy. I have taken acting classes with him, from him. I feel like he's the kind of person that will call you on what you need to be called on, and you need to just listen. You don't have to always listen to everyone's opinion, but at least as long as you listen, because he's the kind of person that will tell you the truth. So, hey, Stu, how are you today?
Hi, Bren. I like that intro because I'll give you my 2 cents, and that's what it's worth. And, you know, but if you're not willing to listen, you're probably not going to go past whatever little hole you've wedged yourself into.
Right, right.
And I love you doing this.
And so we're doing this podcast because we're going to talk about acting and directing. We're going to talk about anything that Stu wants to talk about. But just so you know, Stu, you need to think of a woman in film that made you really want to be in film, to be an actor, somebody that was kind of iconic. So you have to think about that for later.
Okay.
But right now, let's talk about acting. So, Stu, I would like to talk to you about what you think are the biggest mistakes that actors make.
If you think it's easy, you've been misled. there is nothing about making a film that is easy. Mm-hmm. So if you think that now that you know your lines, you're 90% done, you're wrong. You're 25% done. And the worst part is you can't even conceive of what the other 75% might be. Mm-hmm. The better you prepare, mm-hmm. the better your results are going to be. And, you know, don't think of rehearsals as painful. It's a chance to play. It's glorious because, mm-hmm. you know, especially if you're a lot of the scripts you're going to see now require or like improv. So be able to do it. And improv isn't just the ability to say stuff until someone else says something else. You're advancing a story. So if you have, the more you understand about the story and just not your part in the story, the more you're at cause with making this a better production, the better you're going to be. And sometimes, you know, cutting lines from yourself makes you a stronger performer. And people hate to hear that. I mean, there's so many things we could talk about. How you prep for a shoot or an audition. You know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, I think that, you know, you've done a lot of work in the independent film sector. And so, and there's a lot of new filmmakers, and there's usually a lot of new actors too. And what is it that you think that a new actor should start doing from the beginning?
First they should do is, like, if you're doing a scene, don't keep watching it on YouTube, because all you're doing then is doing a bad copy of someone else. Read scripts and do scripts that you haven't seen, so you don't have a preconceived idea of what it's supposed to look like. Because your version, once you understand how to do a lot of the prep elements, might be better than what you even saw. But if you're just going to keep watching it and hoping that someone gives you all the answers, you know, as an actor, you have to ask a lot of questions. And people, I was helping somebody and they were telling me they were playing a hitman. I said, great. And he said, you know, so what should my dialogue be? And I asked for the script and I said, do this. You know, how good a hitman are you? I don't know. That's a bad answer. You have to know. I said, how many people you killed? He goes, I don't know. As if he's getting mad at me for asking.
Right.
So I said, pick a number. He goes, 10. I said, okay, you've killed 10 people, which means you probably are a pretty good hitman and have a pretty good lawyer, but you don't do stupid things because people are looking to kill, to catch murderers. So you don't run down the street. You know, if you're a hitman for hire, you kill differently than if I'm killing you out of revenge. I could run down the street with a gun if I'm killing you out of revenge. If I'm a hitman for hire, I don't want to be seen. So the gun's hidden in my pocket. I walk out. I don't need to lay a whole speech on someone to clear someone else's bullshit.
Right. And I think, too, that the misconception of being an actor is people think, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to get up and just pretend in the moment, which, you know, in some cases it's true. But I think people don't really understand that you really need to prepare. Like, you smart people are actors because they are very big on the details, because the details are the most important thing.
They sell so much. Yeah. You know, the little things, if you're just going to stand there and repeat lines, you could be a mannequin. You don't need that. The more you feel it, the more we feel it. So let us feel it.
Right. I think, too, taking classes, you know, it's always about, if you're thinking about it, if you're thinking about what your character is feeling, if you pick an emotion, if you know this character because you've done your own backstory on the character, or you, and then you start believing that you're the character, and then you're believing that that character's sad, you don't really have to act it out. You just have to think about it, and it should come pretty naturally.
Yeah, listen, you know, you have a little more faith that you've learned some things around from being on the planet for long. And if you haven't been around for long, then pay attention. Every time you go out, that's research. Watch people. Watch how they interact. You know, I love to go to dinner and stare at people at other tables and see, and you can tell whether they're married. You can tell whether it's the first date. There's some real interesting stuff, and it's don't count on dialogue to save you, because that's not right. You know, dialogue is the last resort to help tell the story. This is a visual medium, so be interesting. Put effort into it. I love when I see people, and if you give them a prop, they want to take it home. They want to play with it for a week before they shoot, because it makes a difference. You know, unless you're playing the pizzeria guy whose first day is in the pizzeria, it's okay if you suck at a pizzeria, at flipping pizza. But if you've been there for 4 years and you still can't flip a pizza, then everything else you say helps. It's defeated in our belief of who you are.
I feel like that's a big problem with younger actors, is that, I mean, I know you and I are a generation where we were sent out to play. So we were always make-believing and playing, and whether we were Superman or Spider-Man or Wonder Woman, we are always sent out to play. Yep. So we kind of had that ingrained in us. And I feel like a lot of these kids are missing out that opportunity to just imagine that they're someone and someplace else.
Yeah. Just listen, you know, I know a lot of people that are, and I'm not telling you not to learn any technique. Learn all the techniques. I don't think you have to master every technique. I look at it sort of like you're building a house. Okay. So if you're really good at, say, Meisner is a tool, say Meisner is a saw, that's great. But if you only know how to use a saw, you're not building a great house. If you have basic knowledge of a saw and a hammer and how to glue and how to cut wood and everything else and how to be an electrician, you're going to build a better house. And I think people get a little stuck in, learn from anybody you can, okay? And training isn't an insult. I know there, you know, the people that want to sound like it's an insult, it's not. If you don't do it, and it doesn't matter who you do it with, just do it. Because if you try to find a reason not to do it, you're looking for excuses to make it easy.
When you're working scenes and everything, it's always good to like just talk it out. Like, talk it out with one another and kind of feel like, you're getting to know the person that you're working with, and then you're getting to know where their creativeness is, so you guys can kind of work off each other. So when you're actually in the scene, it's like you're already there. You're like you're comfortable. It's not more ingrained in the character, I think.
I believe that. I was helping some friends, and they were playing a married couple, but there was no chemistry. They didn't, whether it was good or bad, you have to have a feel that you have some knowledge of this other person. So I gave him $20. I said, why don't you two go to lunch for 2 hours? And when they came back, it affected who they were, because they knew things about each other.
Right.
And, you know, I saw a film recently where I didn't feel these characters had that connection to each other. Mm-hmm. And once I start getting pulled out, I can pull out quickly.
Okay, easy.
I like to see that, you know, from a director or producer point of view, you're more committed when you see the other people have done basic amount of work. And if you've seen they've gone, the reason you want to do so much prep is because things are going to change. And if you're locked in thinking, I have to be angry every time I say this line. Okay, well, there's all sorts of different types of anger. But if you're given the line in a different way, or your situation is changed, or the script made an adjustment and you can't make one, your lack of preparation and lack of being able to adapt is only going to hurt everything. And you're going to find a way to try to spin it that, oh, they made changes. And this, yeah, changes are happen. Be welcome. Okay. It's going to happen on every set. And the better the set, you know who's giving you the changes. Hopefully you understand why. But if you're only stuck in your little bubble, it's tougher. It's tougher.
Right. I actually was recently on a film shoot, and they were cutting people's lines like crazy. And it was like always last minute. Like, these people were waiting on set and they had studied their lines, and then they just cut them all out. And you just, and sometimes it's not the person, it's just the circumstance. And I think you can't let that deflate you. You just have to go, okay, that this is how it is. This is how we're going to handle it.
There's so many things we can't control.
Right. Tough. And I think that that's a real important thing for any new actors, is to know that maybe you don't suck. Maybe it's just the fact that they didn't think the line was important. They had written it. They had workshopped it. They did everything. But then at the end of the day, when you're in that moment, sometimes you got to throw stuff out. Otherwise, it's not going to flow the way the director wanted it to flow.
Right. You're there to help the director tell the story. And the more he realizes you're on his team, the more he's going to give you freedom. But that freedom is earned. It's not given just because you have a role. Some people have to be penciled in and can only do limited things. And depending on how good your director is and how good the script is. And there are times that you're going to make changes. And changes, it's all good. You know, you want to make it so the editor has a good problem, which is, damn, you know, and you hopefully the director's sitting in with the editor to get the story he wants. But you want to give the editor a good
thing. Yeah, I think with the whole COVID thing, that's become a big problem. I know you can Zoom it and everything, but I know when I'm doing it, I want to sit there while they're editing. Or what I do is, as a director, I'll make notes. Like, I'll watch all the footage and actually put down what clip I want and what time code I want it at. Because, and then once they lay it down, then I want to sit in again, because I could be wrong. I'm just going by what I see in my head, and then I want to make it other adjustments.
You're going with your initial thought, which is great, and it might be right 90% of the time, but then the ability to adapt that other 10 or 15% of the time is going to raise your movie that much higher, because you don't get, you know, there's a lot of times you read a script, you're like, oh, that's great. And it just doesn't play the way you think. So are your actors good enough to help that? Or do you want to just, you know, Judd Apatow, and I know you know this, he loves when he doesn't think it works. He's like, all right, let's beat the crap out of what we have, and then let's try to find something better. And it's easier to keep than it ever was, because you don't got to develop digital. Not $1,000 a foot like it used to be.
I know. And I think, too, when you're working with editors, because I've worked with a few, is, you know, when they read the script, they see it. Everybody sees your script a little bit differently, or somebody else's script a little differently. And sometimes it's like your interpretation as the director is when you're laying it down, and then they look at it, and sometimes they're just like machines and they just piece it together. And then as the director, you have to go back and go, well, no, my vision was this. And you, and it's not that what you did was bad. It's just that I don't think you understand where I see it going.
Yes. And the editor works for you. And doesn't mean they can't help tell your story. And, you know, you're not open to their input, but
you have to be open.
You got to be open, but they also have to explain why they're not doing what you think you're getting. And then you have to either understand and accept their new one, or say, thanks anyway, but let's go back to my original plan or my new.
Yeah, I know. And I think the problem too, I know with me personally, is you always feel like you're hurting their feelings.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the toughest things, especially for actors, actually actors and writers, is that they don't want to be criticized. You know what?
Right.
Get over it. Seriously.
I think taking as an opportunity. Like, I usually, when I work, I know my dialogue's not always the best, but I know I have good ideas and I know how to outline the scene. And so I usually ask the actors, everyone I've worked with, I'm always like, hey, you know, if there's like a line or something, or you think it'll make it better, please, you know, give me input, because I'd rather do it before we, you know, before we are actually shooting, because shooting can be costly and timely. But, you know, just let me know. Like, I usually contact every single one and then say, what do you think? And then they say, well, do you think this will work? Because you don't want to work with people that aren't smart. You want to work with people that have
work with people better than you as much as you can and learn, you know.
Right. That's right. Exactly.
There's a local person, and he made a comment about 2 years ago. Thankfully, I'm not on Facebook that much because I'm trying to keep my soul. And he said, I want people to understand that it takes a while for me to get this out because I want to do all this by myself. And I saw that person that night, first time ever. And I said, I'll restate what I said earlier. And it's not to be an a-hole, but you're learning at the expense of all the people who are dedicating their time. You'll learn faster from others than you will by teaching yourself. And considering there's four or five elements that you're not up to speed with at this point, you're not helping your project and you're not helping other people want to work with you. So if other people want to teach you, learn from them.
I feel honestly that people don't understand, or some people are like, they're totalitarian government. They don't understand that filmmaking is a team sport. I don't care how many ways you look at it. It's all about the team. And everybody's got to contribute to the team. And the director is usually just
he's the quarterback. The team,
and they're the quarterback. So I think that people don't understand. Like, I know I just did an interview with Ninon, and we were talking about that because she was telling me that people in the entertainment industry aren't very like touchy feely. They don't really help each other out. But I find, at least for me, is that, you know, for the most part, I have people constantly going, hey, if you ever need anything. And then, like, when people post things, people I don't even know, if I have things, because people have given me props and costumes over the years, if I have things, I just offer them up, because people have done nice things for me. And if somebody's in need, I'm more than happy. It doesn't cost me anything. If they want to borrow something, I don't really care.
Being nice, you know, doesn't cost you. It doesn't make you weak. The belief that it does. And I think, sadly, it's gotten worse in the last 4, 5, 6 years, where people always want to fight everything. Don't. You know, bitterness is not attractive.
And I think, too, someone who's giving you advice doesn't do it to be mean. If someone's giving you advice, that means they care enough to give you advice. And it doesn't have to be advice you take. But, you know, it's always good to listen and then decide whether or not that advice is actually going to work for you. But at least you took the time to sit down and look at it and then go, okay, that won't work for me, but that was a really good idea. It's just not the way I want to go with it. Like, I don't want to fight. A lot of times I take a lot of people's ideas, but there are a few sometimes. It's not that there were bad ideas. It was just wasn't my style or something that I wanted, that I felt was important to what I was doing.
And that, listen, you're here to be better. So I'll put it, if I give someone an exercise in a class and they don't understand the exercise and they're just trying to find the end result, they're not going to get what they need from the exercise. So then they do it half-assed and they're thinking, well, that didn't work. It might not have worked anyway, but unless you're going to be open to trying it to see if maybe, you know, listen, if you're Meryl Streep, go ahead, shit on whatever you want. But she doesn't. She still goes to class. So you don't get better by just fighting everything.
Right, I miss class.
Same here. Listen, sure. I'm in one. I'm loving the two improv classes I do because I think everyone in the world should be taking improv. It helps.
I need to take an improv class. I think it makes you more comfortable with your body, with your mind, with your soul. It makes you want to play a little bit more. So I think improv is very important. And yes, I need to join those classes.
I will send them to you later.
Okay, awesome.
Although this Thursday, you will miss your first one. They're good because they free you up. And I know a lot of business people who can change their approach when they don't think of throwing in the butt all the time. You know, oh, this is the reason, but it won't work because blank, blank, blank. Okay. And I have one big butt rule. Okay.
I like that. Big butt rule. Go ahead, Stu.
Which would you rather hear? I'd like to go, but I got to work. Or I got to work, but I'd really like to go.
The second,
obviously. And we in our brains, we hear everything, but we only remember what happens after the but. How you phrase it will help get, you know, you want to be positive or you want to be negative. And there's enough negativity on the planet. So just try to help people. You know, it when you give people criticism, if it's to actually help them and not because you have another agenda, it should be welcome. It's funny because I have people that will say, hey, why didn't you rip this person blank? And I was like, listen, I'll give you a baseball analogy. If you're not a baseball fan, the difference between a 2-0 pitch and an 0-2 pitch is nothing. If you're a baseball fan, it's everything. If I am the batter and that's 2-0, I can look for a whole bunch of things exactly what to do. If it's 0-2, I have to protect. It's not, I'm not in the driver's seat. So the more you understand, the more you're willing to work with people, the more you're willing to listen. You know, I don't tell people how to do or suggest they might want to do things that is just not in their comprehension of understanding what the hell we're talking about.
Actors, being an actor, that I think every situation is unique. And sometimes I, when I'm not getting rehearsal, that I feel a little jilted because I feel like, yeah, I could like, you know, pick an emotion, but I can break down the script, which is great. But I feel like it's almost detrimental to the script itself because you're not getting completely comfortable with the people around you. And then, and so the play kind of goes a little stupid,
it is. I think. One of the problems with Zoom, and Zoom's great for the pandemic, but as an everyday acting tool, not as great because people don't realize that me being in a scene with you and seeing you and reacting off you, not whether you walk into the kitchen and say something, it's completely different, okay? And this is a great temporary result or way to respond to the pandemic, but it's not the long-term answer to get better acting.
Yeah, and I think that really, I know a lot of people are doing it and they're getting better and better at it. I know that online auditioning, the self-tapes, it's an awesome opportunity for people that aren't in a regular, like, big city like LA or New York, but it is a great opportunity, but I think the big thing with acting now and landing those roles is that you need to master the self-tape. Like, that should be your job because that is your job, to master the self-tape. You got to find those.
I love self-tapes.
I still feel a little uncomfortable, but I think you just need to understand that when you do a self-tape, that it you should ask people to come and help you now that, you know, people are getting vaccinated and everything. I've had people like on the phone that talked to me, you know, that did the other lines, but it's just,
no, it's not. But listen, self tapes are a great way where you can show them what you want. And I'll give you two hints or tips for actors. When you send out sides, if I sent out sides to 10 people, 8 of them are going to read them the exact same way. And I should just go by headshots. And I call that vanilla.
Right.
Okay. And my theory is be any other flavor but vanilla. So say I was thinking that I wanted Rocky Road and you came in and it is known that you don't get all the information to make all the perfect choices, but we also don't care. If I wanted Rocky Road and you came in and gave me pistachio, but you did a really good pistachio, there's two positive things that can happen. One is I could say, wow, that was really good pistachio. I was looking for Rocky Road, and then I will give you time to play and see what you come back with. And the other possibility is even better, which is, oh, damn, pistachio works. And then you're in their golden pocket because they will write things knowing that you are going to do better things with them.
At least lately, I feel like I'm getting a little bit better at these things, but I feel when I read a side and – you know, it's a very generic character and maybe you can pretty much read between the lines what the writer's intention was, but then sometimes it doesn't feel like it's me and I may not be suited for it. So what I usually do is I just try to take a little bit of me and kind of adjust it all to me and not worry about what the intention is and just go for it. Like, be uniquely and just solidly me, because I can't, I can go for what the writer is, but I think sometimes if you spin it a little bit and just make it more of yourself, I think it works really well. It works.
So
it works for
under
me.
That premise, here's the other tip I was going to tell you, and they all tie together, mm-hmm. is if you can do an extra take and send it. And if you think that's what's pissing the casting director off, no, because you sort of want to do a little more than you think it might need, just in case they want to see how far you could go.
Right.
I love when I see someone. I was helping a friend about 2 months ago with an audition, and he thought he had two roles. One he loved, and the second he thought similar to you. And I was talking. I said, let me ask you a question. Why don't you like this? He goes, I don't know. I think it's boring. I said, okay. So let's do this. Let's make believe you hate your job. So, and this person that comes in is just going to annoy you at the front desk. Okay. But if you can realize that they're either, you could take advantage of them in some way or make them do something where they have to reach out to your boss to piss him off and you're going to get a little enjoyment out of it. It was the best audition I've seen this person shoot in about a year.
Well, that's great though. Yeah, I think too, like when I did my last audition for the last film I did, I just felt like I needed to do it a little differently just because of the way it read. And it's funny because my daughter, who does a million self-tapes, she literally watched my self-tape and she said to me, wow, Mom, that was really good. That's not how I saw that character, but I totally loved it.
And they saw that you had fun with it. Because if you're just going to make believe it's no big deal and I'll read it the same as everybody else, well, what you're basically saying is I don't have anything to add. I don't have a viewpoint. I'm going to play it safe. You know what? When you think of all your great acting performances, how many of them played it safe?
Right. Okay, so on that note, I wanted to ask you, what woman in film, and it can be anybody, past, present, it could be your mom if she's in film, but any woman that really inspired you to want to be an actor?
I didn't get much time to think about it because we were talking. But
I know.
I'm going to go back to a lot of things that I saw early. And when I watched Wait Until Dark, and you're like, wow, she's not even blind and she could do that. And yet all the parts of the story that were able to be told without dialogue, it just, certain movies like that, if I watch The Closer, but it wasn't really, I mean, I did love Maria Bello's performance, but that wasn't one thing that motivated me years back. The Cooler, I'm a big fan of that movie. Listen, I think it's the best thing that Alec has ever done. Alec Baldwin.
Love him. Maria Bello, that was just perfect casting. That's like one of those instances where, I'm sure they did a lot of rehearsal.
It did. And if you ever read Alec talk about it, he was talking about the basement scene and he calls his agent up. When he starts reading, he goes, I am not doing this. This guy's all blah, blah, blah. And his agent says, where are you? He goes, I'm in the basement scene. He goes, you haven't finished it yet, have you? He goes, no, I'm not reading. He said, just read it. And then 20 minutes later, he calls him back. He says, oh, I can't wait to do this. There's a lot of rich stuff. I wish I could think of specifically more from my youth. That.
Well, you said Maria Bello, and you also said Maria Bello. So those are two women.
You know, I love almost everything I've ever seen Meryl do. I'm not going to love everything that I see anybody do because I'm not bitter, but I'm a tough ass. And, you know, there's certain things that I think certain people get away with. I don't mean Meryl as much, but some people be like, oh, everything De Niro does is gold. Okay. I like 90% of the stuff. Do I think once or twice it gets mailed in? Yeah. You know, but, you know, he's put himself in that position. I think a lot of young actors like to think that they're Christian Bale and just run around and scream. Don't be that. Even if you're as good as Christian Bale, which you're not. Don't do that. Okay.
Right.
Don't be on set anything you don't want other people to be.
How do people get a hold of Stu Chaykin? Right. How do
people get a hold of Stu Chaykin at Gmail, the schmuck at Schmucks Inc. I'm on Facebook and I'm on Instagram and I think I'm on Twitter, but I'm not sure. But I'm good with I'm old school. I'm okay with email, you know, but.
Well, this was super fun and I feel like it was really informative. And I think that people should listen to Stu a little more than they do.
I've built that wall. I've built the house that I have to live in. And I'm aware of it.
Exactly. But I think, you know, if you really do listen to your teachers, your instructors, the people that are doing it, I think you'll learn a lot. And I think you just have to get a little outside of yourself and just, and like Stu's saying, you really have to just be willing to play.
Listen, sometimes if you're willing to play, you're going to find, you know, if I do a scene, if I do Harry Met Sally and I'm doing it as in a different emotion than they are, if you're doing it from love or joy, but if you're doing it out of fear, is it going to work for the whole scene? No, but you're going to find one or two little moments. It's like, oh, became so much richer. Yeah. And then you get to define it. But if you're just going to be one note, you know, don't work so hard at being one note. It's one note, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, this was awesome. I really appreciate it. We'd love to talk to you in the future after we do our
on Thursday.
I'm super excited about coming up soon. It'll be super fun. This is Stu Chaykin. And Brenda Daly, and this is Real Women, Celebrating Women in Independent Film.
Have a great night.
Thanks a lot, Stu.